make sure that you have everything that you need, and you're going to get some of the things you want. Amen. And I'm just so grateful to just be in this space. So if this is your first time to the Safe House Church, I ask that you get the opportunity, please visit our website, safehousechurchgso.com. There you can find more about us, that we just a group of people who just love God, and we enjoy the trip. We far from perfect. Amen. We have so many different things that we failed at, and we found ourselves in situations and stuff all the time. But what I'm learning is MRM. We talked about it last week. That means move, redirect, and move again. This is what the church is, a action verb, amen, meaning that we are going forward. We are going forward, that there's work to be done. I know so many people waiting until they get to perfection, and I'm here to tell you that you're going to be waiting all your life. Oh, come on, somebody. You're going to be waiting all your life if you're waiting to get towards perfection, because what we are always working in perfecting. We are always in development. We are always going forward, and God is always refining us and taking something else off of us. So here at the Safe House Church, we work off three principles that we believe God has called us to focus on. Those three principles are simply this. We call it DEA. That's not Drug Enforcement Agency, but that's Discipleship, Empowerment, and Accountability. You will hear it over and over and over again. Discipleship, Empowerment, and Accountability. Discipleship, why? We work a life of discipline. There's always more discipline. I can use some more discipline in my body when it comes to my eating. Oh, come on, somebody. I can talk about me, you know, got to go to the doctor, just, you know, got my stuff back from the doctor, and everything is looking good. But you know what? Just because it's looking good today don't mean it can turn for tomorrow. So we have to do our part. So discipleship requires discipline. Amen. But then what? We are following, discipleship also requires that what? That we follow. Amen. So in discipleship here, what we do is we teach you the word of God. You know, we use the framework of content, context, but it's God that gives the revelation. We can give you the content, which is the infallible word of God, the 66 book canon that was left on record for you and I. You know, some people say, well, you know that man put that together. Well, all the word was inspired, you know, through God, and man wrote it down. Amen. But what I trust and believe, why? Because I just don't rely just on that paper Bible. I rely on what? That spirit that's lived inside of me. I have the lived experience. That's why I tell people, you must experience God for yourself. You know, it's one thing for you to read about the God of the Bible. It's one thing for you to read about the God of old, but he's still what? A living God, that he's living right now. And if you've never felt this living power, if you never felt this anointing, if you never felt him, you know, lift you up in the morning, but I'm here to tell you today, it's a feeling like no other. Amen. This is why we worship. I don't worship because of a paper Bible. I'm a scholar. Amen. By trade, that doctor is not a theology doctor. Amen. That's a doctor of scholarship. Amen. So I'm a studier. I study. And you know, and if I felt that relationship with other things, I'll beat it. But I'm here to tell you today, in all my studying and all my searching and all my research, that I have not found a God. Come on, y'all, feel my help this morning. I've not found a God like our God. Amen. For he's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's Jehovah Nissi, that he fights my battles. And I'm just so grateful to him this morning. Then we work off of what? Empowerment. We believe in putting what? Our members and those who serve here with us, we at Safe House, we like to call them just leaders, amen, because this is what we do. We develop leaders and send leaders forth in the world, amen. You know, if you come to this ministry, maybe you don't stay long, meaning you don't stay long because you were kicked out or you want to leave, but God has already called you. So, you know, this is the ministry that God has called us to, and we're just going to go forth in that. So we serve leaders all around the world, amen. This is the place where leaders come to be trained. And I'm just so grateful that God has made me a leader and continually to develop me in that leader space. Not that I'm perfect. I have a lot of shortcomings. Sometimes I find myself in the place of dismay, but I have to remember that I serve the God of God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So then the empowerment, so we'll put you in position and we'll push you forward and we'll help you support that. You'll get opportunity. Oh, come on, somebody. We'll give you opportunity. But then it's this last piece that comes with opportunity called accountability. Oh, y'all with me? Accountability. Accountability simply means, do you do what you say you're going to do? And when you don't, are we able to hold you accountable? So that's one thing we do here. I know in this modern day time, accountability is almost a cuss word to some people, but accountability is important to the Safe House Church. I'm held accountable by the members of the Safe House Church or the leaders of the Safe House Church. They are held accountable by me. Well, if you say you're going to do it, let's follow through. Amen. If not, let's figure out why, because accountability is important. I need to be able to trust and believe that you'll do whatever it is that God has called you to do, because I need you to do what he's called you to do, just like you need me to do what it is he's called me to do. And therefore, what we all benefit from each other. That body is made up of many members. And I don't know about you, I might just be a cell on his body, but I want to be the best cell on his body that I can be. Amen. I'm just so grateful to God this morning. So welcome again to the Safe House Church. I know I'm already in preach mode already this morning. Amen. But nonetheless, I'm just grateful. I want to give honor and shouts out to First Lady Ely. Just so grateful to her and my children. Amen. Long week. And I got to get away a little bit yesterday. Y'all know I do that fishing thing, and was able to go down to the mountains. Man, that was some cold water out there, y'all. You didn't want to fall in that stuff. But, you know, God spared me, allowed me to go out there. I enjoyed myself, caught a couple of fish I never caught before. So I'm grateful, was able to make it back. It was a little tired in the body, neck a little sore. But nonetheless, we're here. Amen. You know, that's what happens when you don't get your regular exercise in. So you all making sure that you take care of your bodies. You know, I was a gym rat for forever. But, you know, this pandemic has changed my gym habits in the sense that now I don't go at all. So I need to do better on that, you know, just the outside motivation didn't get me going like that. But let's make sure we're working, like I said, on our bodies. Not that we're just working on our bodies from a vain point of view, but just to keep them functional. Amen. So I'm just so grateful, you know, those who prayed for me. And, you know, we did pretty good. You know, out of 100 some people, I finished in the top 20. I think I was number 16. So, you know, everybody has to have something, you know, and that's my thing. So I ask that you make sure you find something. A number of people are going back to school on this week. So we want to make sure that we pray for those, I included. We start back this week. Amen. And those who already started back, we just want to pray God's hand upon you as we go forward on this week. Also, I want to remind you that still we have it on Wednesday nights. We still have our Bible class. That is at 7 p.m. And we're almost done with the book of Ephesians. And we're going to move into the book of Acts. That's at 7 p.m. The same way you found us here today. You'll find us the same way on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Also on Thursday nights, I want to remind you on Thursday nights, we have the men's locker room. The men's locker room, that is a private space that you register for, and just men having a conversation, talking men talk. Amen. Also, we will be on Clubhouse this week. So we have a Clubhouse, a room on the Clubhouse app. Those who know the Clubhouse app, you know, that's pretty much is the exclusive situation right now. You have to be on Clubhouse, and we only ask the men to be in that space. I've been out there a couple of times and done some interaction with people, and I found it to be a space that we can get some work done. Amen. We can reach some other people and reach some men, because men are out there having these kind of conversations, but they're having them under the premise of some false pretense. Amen. And Pastor Biggers and myself, we're going to be doing that simultaneously with the Zoom link. That's a private link, and they're in the private room on the Clubhouse. Amen. So we're just going to reach out. You know, God has given us all these technology and all these things, and he's given me a little bit of ability to be able to use these things. So we need to be able to use everything that God has given us. Amen. Everything that God has given us to reach the gospel is what we are required to do. All right, so no longer I'm going to delay any further. I don't think there's anything else that's on my mind at this particular point that we need to take care of. I do want to remind you, I was talking to Sister Lee this morning, and we're trying to reorganize our hat and coat drive. I need all these hats and coats out of my house. I got like 10 boxes of stuff that the church purchased, and we had we had some issues getting lined up. So Sister Lee is working on that. It's going to be real soon. Maybe we'll just do some bags or something, because it's still cold outside and there's still some people who can benefit from these things. And we don't want these things to go to waste, nor do I want to just sit here and storm in my house. Amen. Amen. So we need to get going. Let's get that going. And we're going to follow up on that. How many of you excited in Jesus this morning? How many are you excited about what God is doing? I know this. Believe it or not, I was looking this morning. We almost at the end of the first month already. Can y'all believe that? We are almost at the end of the first month of the year. Next Sunday, it'll be the 31st. This year is already running away here. 2021 is already running away. And we know this year that our theme is what? Reimagine God, or God reimagined that so many of us, you know, we only know God in one way. But I'm asking you this year, and I believe God is asking us to find him and what in another way, that there's other things that he can do than that one little box or that one little place or that one little shell that you and I have put him into. Amen. That we did that. He didn't do it, but we did it. And we put him there into that shell. Why? Because that's only way we had capacity to believe him. But I ask God that he continues to expand our capacity so that we come to know him more than just the God of healing, more than just the God of finance, more than just the God of promise, but the God of what? All. So that we can know him in all things. Amen? Amen. So then we started this month with the overall theme of the month was house space. So we've been talking about cleaning up your own house. Mm-hmm. It's your house that needs to be clean. You know, we talking about going out and we witnessing and stuff, and I want you to do that. But at this is the thing. Some people think, I don't go out and I witness until I got everything straight with me. Well, I'm here to tell you today, that is an excuse for you not to go out at all, because you're not going to go out at that point. Why? Because you're never going to get it all together. There are things that I still struggle with. There are things that you're going to struggle with. Even Paul, who wrote over half of the New Testament, which is one of the greatest apostles of all time, if arguably, okay? He said that he even struggled. He said, well, I prayed to God three times that he would what? Remove this thorn from my flesh. And God tells him that what? But his grace is sufficient. Amen. Doesn't mean that I go out on purpose and do dumb stuff. Don't mean that I go out and do these things, but what? That his grace is sufficient so that if I do slip, if I do find myself falling in the midst of work, oh, come on, somebody. See, that grace is for what? When you're working. See, so many of us, sometimes we just believe, oh, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm going to ask God for forgiveness. I've heard people say that before. That's an incorrect notion. No, that's predetermined sin. That's like premeditated murder. That's why they give a bigger penalty for premeditated murder than murder. All that's murder, but for you to sit down and plan it out and think about it, yeah, they dealing with you. Sin is the same way. So what? We have his mercy and his grace. And he says his grace is sufficient for us. So then we moved on and we talked about getting into the house. And when you get into the house, there's healing there that was in the house. Then on last week, we talked about church being the action verb. Now, what is the church that we are to move? And as you're moving, sometimes you might slip. Sometimes you may fall. Like I said, we're striving towards perfection, but I'm not there. You're not there. So what? N-I-move, M-R-M, that means what? I'm moving, and then if I fall, I redirect. But see, the reason I fail is because what? I became out of direction. I got out of line. Mm-hmm. Remember, to sin actually means what? To miss the mark. Oh, come on, somebody. That's what it means to sin. Sin means to miss the mark. So if I sin, I miss the mark. That means what? I need to redirect. I need to change so now I can line back up with the mark. And then I go forward. So we call it MRM. MRM. Move, redirect, and move again. See, it's not over. Now that means what? You get up and you know the Bible says like this, that a just man falls seven times. But what makes him just is not how many times he's fallen, but how many times he's gotten up. How many of you right now that may be on your face and you're thinking about throwing in the towel and you don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm here to tell you today, get up one more time. Get up one more time. Get up another time and give it another go. Give up another time and give it another shot. Get up another time and go out and declare that he lives. And even if you fall again, get up again. Why? Because every time you get up, you're getting better. Every time you get up, you're getting stronger. Every time you get up, you're getting wiser. Every time you get up, you're getting what? Better in that space. See, some of us don't give ourselves the opportunity to get better because we believe that it's over. But it's not over until he says it's over. Amen. So on this morning, the next part we wanted to touch about is being in your house. How many of you seen people that get a new house, but the person don't change? See, getting a new environment, getting a new space is not only the only change that you require. See, I could take somebody from one part of town and put them in a better part of town. And while they get in that better part of town, uh-oh, somebody's burning some downstairs. I apologize. Oh, buddy. Let me see if I can mute this for a second. What's going on? Come on, I'm back. Can everybody hear me? I apologize for that. We had a little situation here in the home. That's one of the things about being at home, but you know what? This too will pass. So nonetheless, we're good. I got that taken care of. Amen, amen. All right, so let's go forward on this morning. So you know what, devil, I'm going to get this out this morning. I'm going to get it out. Come on, somebody. I'm going to get this out this morning. I'm going to give God the glory anyway. And this is going to come out, and it's going to be the way that God wanted to be. So I'm going to get myself back in that space. Amen. So we was talking about, well, I think before I left, that we were talking about, get back in my anointing. We were talking about that you can move a person from one house, and they'll leave up. You move them from one side of the town, and you take them from one side of the town, and you put them in another house. Just because you move somebody from one side of town and you put them in a different place, doesn't mean that the person changes their behavior. Doesn't mean that they change how they operate. Don't mean that they change how they see things. This is why sometimes we see individuals that can come up, you know, across some money, or some individuals who may inherit a large sum of money or whatever the case may be, and they start to make some bad choices. Let's say it that way. They start to make bad choices as they go forward. And they buy things sometimes they don't need. And they do things that they probably shouldn't do. Because they're not used to having these kind of resources. They're not used to having money. They're not used to being in that space. And we want to talk a little bit from that point of view on today. Because God, for some of you, God has moved a lot of us in from a lot of bad situations. Some of you grew up in some bad environments. Some of you were in bad places. Some of you were in bad marriages. Some of you were in bad relationships. Some of you were in bad jobs. Some of you had some bad family members. Some of you just had some really things, what, they were just bad around you. Amen? But God has now put you in a place that is better. He's put you in a place that's different. And this is the one thing that we often hear people say when God moves you around like this. Sometimes what people say is actually this: is that now you think you're better than me, or you have changed. And I'm like, yes, I have changed. Why? Because I've changed so that I can grow into the new environment that I am in. See, things that are not changing are dead. Things that are not changing are dead. Each and every day, you are changing. Each and every hour, I'm changing. Every morning I get up, I see a new gray hair. Oh, come on, somebody. Or I see some skin that might be coming off my body, or whatever the case may be. There is a change that is happening inside of us each and every day. And if we're the people of the living God, and we have the living God that lives inside of us, what you must realize is that what? God continually is growing inside of you, and he's changing you each and every single day. Now, some people say, well, I'm just becoming mature. Yes, but you're becoming more mature spiritually. For the Bible talks about what? You're starting on the milk things of God and graduating what? To the meet things of God. So I want you to turn with me this morning in our Bibles. We're going to go to, got a couple of different scriptures I want to go to today. Again, y'all know one of my favorite websites here, we call it the blueletterbible.org. I've been using that for a very long time. Really good, really easy to use. You can get a whole lot from there fairly quickly. It's just like a regular website. Amen. And I'm going to switch over here, and I'm still trying to get back in my space. You know, that did throw me for a little bit this morning, but we're going to be all right. All right, so let's see here. Make sure I remember what I'm doing. Uh-oh, see? As I say, it's got me all off. I got the wrong screen up. Amen. But it's going to be all right. All right, here we go. Yes, that's what I want to be. Okay. All right. So if you will read me, we have been Matthew 16 and 13. And it says this. And it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist. We know who John is. Some say Elias, and others say Jeremias, or one of the prophets. So, you know, even I believe if my memory serves me correctly, even in Islam, they acknowledge Jesus, but they just see him as what? A good prophet. Come on, somebody. But then he says this. He said unto them, but who saith that I am? He's asking them, who do y'all say I am? And then he says this, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. All right. I got another scripture I want to go to Luke 22:57. Losing my mouse here today. 22:57, and it says this. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another said unto him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. Then it goes on and says, and the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying of a truth, the fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Mm-hmm. They talking about Peter here. They're identifying Peter. And he goes and says this. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately he spake, and the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the crow crop, thou shalt deny me thrice. One final verse here. Last verse, I'm going to go to Romans 12 and 2. All right. And it says this. No, let's go to 1, 2, and 3. And it says this. I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, which is the least you can do, is what he's saying. And be not conformed to this world, World being what? The world system. Yes, we're in this world, but this world, it's a system. Meaning you don't do things the way they do. We don't act the way they act. We don't talk the way they talk. When they go down, we still going up. And he said, be not conformed of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that is good, that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Mm-hmm. Don't be transformed. Why could you, by not being transformed, we're going to see in you the goodness of God. We're going to know God through you, what? Not being transformed. Not being transformed or into what the world is, all right? But you transform, but the renewing of your mind. Why? Because we want the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. The mind of Christ. All right, so let me get out of this and I'm going to go into this. I want to pray because I want this to come out the way that I believe God wants it to come as I deal with all the distractions this morning. Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you, Lord. We just want to say thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. We thank you for the power, Lord, that you put in our bodies, oh God, to do the things that we need to do. Lord, I ask that you help us on this day, oh God. Give this word, Lord, the way you desire for your people to see it and understand it. Bless them, Lord Jesus. Help them, oh God. Help us all to go forward, Lord Jesus, in this day, Lord Jesus, as we go forth, Lord Jesus, in the power of your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If I was to use for a subject this morning, I want to talk about revelation to transformation. Revelation to transformation. Revelation to transformation. So when we think about here, we find that we have Peter here. And if we notice here, Peter starts out, you know, Jesus had come back to Caesarea Philippi, and he was asking the people, so who do these people say that I am? Who do they say that, you know, what are they saying about me in the city? What's the rumor out on the street? And they were going on and they were giving all kinds of things. They were saying that people have said this and people have said that. And then Jesus asked them another question. But what do you say I am? You know, you're here with me. You're working with me. You're in the space with me. What do you say I am? And what we find here is that what Peter stands up. Peter has always been what? Peter has been bold. Peter's always been the one to stand up in the middle of everything. Peter's the one that's always said, you know, when something needed to be said, Peter was the one. You know, I don't think it's by happenstance that I'm named Peter. Amen. They often say that your name is representative of, you know, that spirit that God has put in you. Amen. And I think I do find that to be true for myself. So we find that Peter is, the name itself means rock, a facility of faith. And Jesus and Peter, he stands up and he speaks out to Jesus boldly. Sometimes Peter speaks out of turn. Sometimes Peter speaks when he probably shouldn't speak, but Peter never was not one to be bold. So when you understand this about Peter, you'll understand really what's going on here and why it's happening. You know, some of the things are happening the way that it transpires. And what we find here as Peter stands up, Peter proclaims that, you know, he's the Son of the living God. And Jesus turns around and tells him that what? That God revealed this truth to you. This is not something somebody else has told you. This is not something that you heard in a different space, but it was only because of God speaking to you that you know this revelation. And only because God has opened your eyes that you have this revelation. Now that you have this revelation, what is the next part of this revelation? Amen. So let me take for a moment. Let me give you some definitions here that I want you to understand and think about. So when we think about reveal and revelation, you know, I start to look at what is reveal versus a revelation. What we find is that a reveal, something that is revealed, is the final state of something. That something that's revealed, that is it. Revealed actually means what? Final revelation. Reveal actually means final revelation, that I have my final revelation of what this situation is, that I have my final thought on what this is. So that is final. But revelation is something that is in the act of revealing, that it is happening. It's in the now. It is what? A action verb. Oh, come on, somebody. See, God is working with us what in Revelation. I believe that he wrote the, you know, that he allowed John to write the book of Revelation. Why? Because it's a living thing. If you notice that the book of Revelation is what full of prophecies of the end times and how the world was going to end and things that were to come. And since it's a revelation, it is what? It is in continuum. It is actually happening as we go. So this is why the book of Revelation is a what? A revealing book. We find more and more about what's going on every day. If you want to know what's going to happen, if you want to know what's going on in the world, I encourage you to read Revelation. I encourage you to read the prophecies of Daniel, and you will get what? A revelation from God to be able to show you where the things are going. Oh, come on. He would tell you if you were asked. He would give you that information if you will ask. So then we go on here, and I read the second verse, the third verse of Romans. Romans, he tells us that, you know, these things were, you know, our service to live before him, to live holy and acceptable before him. But he told us also to what? To be transformed. Now, a lot of people are walking around and say, well, you know, I've changed. And as long as I change, I'm okay. And I'm here to tell you today that change is not the only piece you want. You don't want to be changed, just changed, but you want to be transformed. The Bible said, be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. So what? The renewing of our mind. Our mind is but being renewed by Christ. That means we have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ is not static. The mind of Christ is dynamic, meaning that it's always moving, it's always progressing, it's always going forward. It knows what's next, it knows what's happened, but it knows what's going forward in the future. That is what it is, a present tense situation. It's a situation that's moving forward. It is progressive. Oh, come on, somebody. How many of you know that what? We serve a God of progression, that we serve a God who's progressive. I know some of us get stuck in our traditions and we like the way things go and we like the way that we do things, but God is telling us it's time to move forward, church. Amen. That I've been telling you all month, and I'm going to tell you all year, that we serve God and we imagine him in this small space when he's really in a space that's beyond whatever I can show you right now, that he really lives in a space, that there's some things that he wants to do with us that we have not thought about, that we have not considered, that we haven't even fathomed that he would do. But if we would live a life that was pleasing to him, if we would live a life that was holy to him, he said, all I want you to do is give your body as a living sacrifice. That means it's going to cost you some late nights sometime. That means that you might have to study a little bit. That means that you might have to turn your plate over a little bit. That means that I might have to walk into a space that I'm not used to walking into, that I might have to walk into a place that I don't feel comfortable in. That, but he's going to put the words in your mouth just like he did Moses. And he's going to send somebody who's going to be a precursor for you like he did John the Baptist. He's going to send our apostle Paul there that's going to be able to show you the transformation that has to happen, that it's a continuum, that it doesn't stop at one time. It doesn't stop at one place, but I live in the right now, but I'm working towards the future. Huh? But what change really means is that change is something that's been fixed. Oh, come on, somebody. If I change the tire, I feel my notes are coming on now. I'm all right now. If I change the tire, I've changed the tire. The tire has been changed. So change is what? A past situation. If you have changed, that means it's already done. Come on. See, he didn't tell us to change our minds. Oh my God. But he told us what? To transform. So what does transform speak to? Transform speaks to future. I wish I had a praying church this morning. But transform means to what? Future tense. So I don't know about you, but he tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So if we go back into the text and what we read here on today, that we find that we went into the book of Luke and we come turned upon the story of when Jesus and Peter have an encounter. And what we find is here that Peter got through this, the same Peter who was in Matthew that was proclaiming that he was the Son of God. This is the same Peter who was speaking boldly. This was the same Peter who was going out with his attitude and would cuss people out and all this kind of stuff. But God was working with him, amen. Because some of you like a little Peter, and God is massaging you. He hasn't given up on you. He's working on you, that he's able to change, meaning to fix that and give you what? Transformation of mind. So this same Peter, we find that Peter has made some change in his life, but Peter at this point has not been what? Transformed. So we find Peter under pressure. Oh, come on. How many know under pressure? We'll find out who you are. If we put you under a little pressure, we'll find out what you're made out of. If we put you under a little pressure, we'll find out if you will hold your weight in water. We'll, as my father used to always say, that the cream always rises to the top. As they say in the streets, that it's pressure bust pipes. Or when it hit the fan, we're going to find out what you're made of. Oh, come on, somebody. So here we find that Peter is under some test. Remember that Jesus even goes back and tells him, he said, Peter, that I prayed for you, that in the day of testing, that your faith fell of you not. Why, Peter? Because Satan wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to sift you as wheat. What do you do with wheat? You sift it. You shake it. You shake it. You shake it. What are you shaking it for? Because you're shaking it because you want the seed or the grain to come out of that wheat. You want to be able to take that seed and plant it in something else. But what happens in the middle of shaking it, you destroy the crop. Oh, come on. The Bible says that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have life more abundantly. So then we find now that what Peter is in a situation where it's almost, it ain't hit the fan. Because Jesus already told him, said, Peter, before the crow crop three times, you're going to find yourself denying me. You're going to find yourself. And Peter stands up boldly and all that he is and say, Jesus, no way would I deny you. Jesus, you know I'm not like that. Jesus, you know I'm your guy. Jesus, you know that I'm sitting right here with you. Lord Jesus, I will go with you to the end of the world. Jesus, I might even die for you. How many of you said that before? How many of you have told us that, God, I don't care what comes, no matter what, where it goes, no matter where it comes from, that, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I don't know about you, but I've said it on some occasions. And, Lord, I find myself that when pressure comes, when the opportunity comes to get by, when the opportunity comes for you not to tell the truth, when the opportunity comes for you to think you got away with it, when the opportunity comes for you to do the right thing, what do you do? And I'm here to tell you today that you don't know what you're going to do until it happens. People say all kinds of things. I hear people say, oh, if I win that $1 billion lottery, Pastor, I'm going to get half in church. I'm going to give the church so much of it. We'll find out. Some people say, oh, Pastor, you shouldn't take that money. Maybe I should. I don't know. We don't. The chance of it happening is very unlikely anyway. So mathematically anyway. But let's consider pressure. We know under great pressure, many things are made. Under great pressure, many things are made. We know that coal is made under what? Under pressure. Coal is what? Simply just aquatic plant that's been what? Pressed down over time with heat and temperature and metamorphs to this thing that we call oil. And then there's another kind of plant that time and pressure, we get diamonds. Mm-hmm. This is nothing but carbon, right? Carbon printing. This is why in the Middle East, you know, those areas bleed to what? Be underwater at some point in time. And now we have evidence that's probably indeed was the case. That's why we find in these plants and you find the oil that you find. I know you didn't think you was getting a geography and history lesson too, but that's what we do at Safe House Church when you got a professor as the pastor. Can't help it but teach it. That's what it's in me. So you also find, and I think it's really odd and interesting that a lot of the things that we cherish, a lot of the things that we seem to be, we think is valuable, often happen by, I would say, collateral damage. What I mean collateral, in that this was not the intended outcome, but it ended up coming as a piece of that. It ended up coming as a piece of that. What do you mean, Pastor? Take, for instance, a clam. We know that what we get pearls from clams. That pearls come from clams, and the clams, they open the clams up, and some of those clams contain pearls. Mm-hmm. Do you know where a pearl actually comes from? A pearl that is actually a grit of sand that was introduced into the clam by way of whatever. They don't want it in their body. So they have basically almost like a saliva, mm-hmm, that they excrete. And they continually excrete it until their irritation is smooth or stopped. What do you mean by irritation? Think about it as if you scratching an itch. I don't know about you, but in summertime when I get bit by those mosquitoes, sometimes I can scratch it so much until I didn't scratch the skin raw. We've all been there, right? Okay. So it's the same thing with him. He's dealing with it, but Stella, he's scratching it. He keeps excreting this saliva stuff. What happened is that saliva stuff over time, it gets hard. It solidifies. Now, that which came in as an irritant is now valuable to us. Woo! Come on. That was a word right there for somebody. See, one of you right now, something's come into your life that was irritating you. It's come to your life that disrupted you. It's come in your life to cause discord to you. But I'm here to tell you today, it's the way that you deal with it. The way that you deal with it, it's going to bless somebody else. What do you mean? This is why he tells us what? To live our life as a living sacrifice. Because people are watching what you do. You all are watching how I handled this distraction this morning. No, I was not very happy about that. But things happen. I'm getting better about that. But now I'm back in my space. It took me a while to get, but I'm back there. I didn't give up. I could have been like, you know what? Just shut it down. Y'all, I got to go deal with this and be gone. But that's not who I am. That's not who you are. We don't give up. We have to work through things even when they don't go the way that we desire. You know, technically this podcast didn't go the way I wanted to go this morning. There's all kinds of stuff that's gone wrong. Some of it you probably even noticed, but I noticed. But you know what? You keep pushing. You redirect and you move again. You get to see an example of me live what I just preached to you on last week, even this morning. So I don't believe it's by circumstance that God allowed that to happen. Why? Because people are looking for people who actually do what they say they're going to do, who actually follow through in the space. So then what? So now we find Peter. Let me get back into this. That was it. They're irritant. So this is how something bad can still be something good. This is what the Bible said. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who are called, watch this, according to his purpose. Got to have purpose. You just ain't getting it because you ain't doing nothing. It's because you're working in the will of God. It's part of it. It's purpose. All right. So then he goes on and he says this. So now Peter is going back and forth. And what does Peter do? People identify Peter in the streets. And they say, he's one of those ones that was with Jesus. Why? Because at this point in time, they get ready to go take Jesus to slaughter. Jesus is about to be killed. Mm-hmm. They about to kill Jesus. He's about to be crucified. And Peter's what? I don't want that fate. Now, I'll be honest. Could you blame him? So what does Peter do? Peter, because Peter has not yet, Peter's been changed, but he's not transformed. Transform what? It's the constant. It's the consistency. See, Peter was changed the day that he revealed to Jesus that he knew who he was. But Peter hadn't been transformed yet. Why? Because he was still only there on that Jesus. See, he wasn't thinking about, you know, even if he told him who he was, that he had the power to save him right then, because he had saw blinded eyes open, but he didn't feel it in his heart yet. He saw the lame walk, but he didn't know it in his heart yet. Like many of us, you know the Bible, you know scripture. You went to church when you were young. Some of you were pew babies. Some of you spent a lot of time in the space. Some of you can quote it back and forth. Some of you was even claimed to be saved at one point. But you lacked transformation. What is transformation? Transformation turns into what? Transforming. I think about it as a kid. One of my favorite cartoons as a kid was the Transformers. Yes, I grew up during that time period. But Optimus Prime, y'all know, he was a big old Kenworth truck or something like that. And at certain times, what they would do is what? They would change what they were and they would transform to something else to meet the occasion. What are you saying, Pastor? When you're working in a space of being transformative, God can give you what you need for the space you in at the time you're in it. Did you catch that? He'll give you what you need when you need it so that you'll be able to excel. Some of you said, well, this is why we have to be transformative. This is why we have to have that transforming mind. Because I've been in some spaces I didn't think I belonged in. But what God has did is he allowed me to say the right words at the right time. He allowed me to say the right thing to the right people. Not me knowing nothing. Why? Because all he told me to do is what? Be a living sacrifice. Be available to me. And all God is asking for some of you to do is to be available. You want all these great things and things for yourself, and you desire well. But you didn't do the first thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things I shall add unto you. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So the transformation, the transforming mind is living. Transformative is living, it's moving, meaning that what I can give you what you need when you need it. Almost like a just-in-time God. Think about that for a moment. He can give you just-in-time revelation. He can reveal things to you just in time. A lot of times in the spaces of pastors here, sometimes God reveals stuff to us just in time. All I know is God said, do it and do it. And I'm walking, I'm saying, Lord, okay. Okay. Have you ever been making that thing? You'd be like, you sure it's going to? And what happens is then you just say, you know what? I'm going. And as soon as you think you're going to plunge, boom, there he is to hold you up. As soon as you think you're going to fall, oh, here comes something else. As soon as you thought you were going, boom, here comes something else. And God, what undergirds you? And what happens is the more we do this, the stronger our faith becomes. Why? Because my faith is built on prior faith. It started with me being changed, mm-hmm, and then transformative. So now we find Peter in the space that he was changed, but he has not yet been transformed. Why? Because Peter denied Jesus. And then the crows, and Jesus said, I told you was going to do that. And now Peter does what? The Bible says he was weeping bitterly. He was crying because he knew he had missed the mark. He knew he had failed. He knew he didn't make it. And at that moment, when he had thrown in the towel, at that moment when he decided there was no more, at that moment was when his transformation occurred. Because then we find later on, and you won't find this in your Bible, you'll find this, I think, Fox's Book of Mortars, and you know, those who research and study, we find that Peter himself actually endured crucifixion. Very similar to Jesus, not the same manner, because what happened was when Peter got to the point that he was going to die for the gospel, just like Jesus did, when he got to the point that his mind was renewed, he had made transformation of mind, he understood something. When he got to the cross, we talked about how they hung him high and they stretched him wide. But Peter said, I do not have the privilege to be crucified the same way that Christ was. So theologians tell us that Peter was crucified upside down. Watch this. He was crucified upside down because he said he did not think or feel that he was worthy to be hung in the same manner of Christ. So he requested to be crucified, and they did it upside down. Transformation. So I'll ask you this morning, church, are you living in transformation? Are you being transformative, or are you just changed? See, change is static. Change is just there. Change is what you used to do. But what have you done since you've been saved? What have you done since you confessed to being baptized with the Holy Ghost? And being filled with the Holy Ghost and being baptized in Jesus' name. What work have you done after Acts 2:38? What have you done? What's the work? What's your record like? Is it static or is it progressive? Is it transforming? Is it renewing? Is it going forth? Is it finding new ways to reach to teach the gospel? Is it more finding more ways to reach others? Is it praying for others? Is it, Lord, I need you in this space because without you, I am nothing. I challenge you this morning to live from revelation to transformation. That yes, it was revealed to me. It's being revealed to me. It's revealing because revelation is it's revealing. And as it's revealing, it is changing me in the sense that I'm being changed, just not changed, but transformed. And I can transform to be whatever it is he need me to be at that moment, at that time, at that hour, at that second. Because sometimes in the space, God might need you to be the preacher. Oh, come on, somebody. I don't have a monopoly on this thing. At that moment in time, God might transform you to be the teacher. At that moment in time, God might work his power through you to be the healer. At that time, he might work it through you to prophesy. Why not you? All he asked for is one thing. Holy and acceptable. Reasonable service. It's all you require. Live holy. Now, I know this thing is a hard thing as we walk from faith to faith. Why is it hard? Because we desire the things of the world. This is why he always reminds us, be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So you don't get caught up in just wanting the things of the world. Because when we get caught up just wanting the things of the world, then we'll start doing what the world do to get them. Mm. Oh, man, I just hit somebody right there. We start doing what the world does to get them. And this is where we get off. And this is why we got to redirect. MRM, you're moving. You find yourself coming off. You redirect, but then you move again. And while you're moving, what is he doing? See, the people who MRMers, if I can say that, MRMers, those are the transformative people. Those are the transformative church. That's the transformative spirit. Why? Because they understand that I got to be moving. And if I mess it up, I'm going to mess it up moving. I'm going to mess it up going forward. I'm going to mess it up being progressive. You know, I'm going to mess it up trying. This morning, what we do here, I'm going to mess it up trying. And I believe that what God is going to undergird by faith. Because faith says that every time I take a step, I don't know how it's going to work, but I believe God is going to be there. And I took that step, and you know what? He showed up. And what happens is over time, my faith gets stronger. Why? Because I remember all the times that he brought me through. I remember all the times that he saw me over. I remember all the times that he opened up doors that I didn't see open. I remember the times that he didn't allow me to get into certain situations, even though I so much desperately desired because he had better for me than that. Are y'all with me today? So on today, I just want to simply leave you with the thought that change is a past situation. But transformation is what you're seeking to be. Revealed is a final destination. But revelation is constant. Let's live in revelation to transformation. In that way, he's constantly showing me, constantly showing himself. Why is he showing himself? Because I'm seeking him. God is seeker friendly. Oh, come on, somebody. He is seeker friendly. And as I seek him, he reveals himself to me. And as he reveals himself to me, I have a renewing of my mind because my mind gets what closer to being like his mind. And then my thoughts are not my thoughts and my ways are not my ways. And then I find myself doing things that he wants me to do. Why? Because now I'm being transformed because my mind, he said, let this mind be in you that was what? In Christ Jesus. So as I move forward in this space today, revealing to transformation. That's why I want to live. That's why I want to be. That's why I want you to be. And he's holding us accountable for that. Hope you got something out of this today. I'm done. God bless you all.
I love you all. I hope that this has been a blessing to you all today and all the things we had going on. But I believe God has got done what he wanted done. So, y'all, I don't know about this month, but you'll be getting a lot of instruction this month on how to make your house space better. You learn that what? It's the supper club. We got to go from what? Place to place. But while I'm going from place to place, I got to understand that God is what? He's working on me too. He's healing me. There's some places that I'm going to go that the house is going to change because I'm there. Mm-hmm. We talked about that this month. And then as I go forward from there, then he's going to tell me what the church is. It's an action verb that I got to be moving. I got to be progressive. It's just not a sit back. This is probably the most important time to me in modern day history for us as believers to stand up. Why? Because the church, this so-called evangelical church, is an absolute mess. So it's been time for us as real believers to stand up and cry aloud and spare not and lift up our voices like a trumpet of Zion, show our people their sins in the house of Jacob therein. It is time for us to step up. It's time for us to go forward. It's been time, but now is the time now. While people are in the pandemic, they shut in their houses. We've reached more people now in the last couple of months than we probably reached in our whole ministry. But now is the time. Why? God can massage the time that you'll be ready to meet when he's ready for you to meet him, and he'll meet you and he'll be ready for you to be caught up in the air. Oh, now is the time for you to go forward. Now is the time. What are you waiting on? It's not going to get any better. He's not going to do anything different, but he's already giving you all that he's going to give you. He's already told you what he's going to tell you. All he's asking you to do is walk in revelation. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me this morning? He's telling you to walk in revelation, and revelation leads to transformation, and transformation is going to lead to transforming your life and all those who are connected with you. And blessed are you, and everything you touch is what promised to grow. For you are the seed of Abraham, and the blessing of Abraham is upon my life, it's upon your life. And it's time for you to step in and go get it. But it's not going to get gapped by you sitting at the house doing nothing, watching YouTube all day, just whatever on YouTube, not getting better. It's not going to change if God has been telling you, hey, it's time for you to go back to school. I got a new business for you. They're giving away tuition right now. They're giving away good money from the government right now. It's not going to always be like this. What are you doing? The revelation leads to the transformation, and we got to live in it. They both are progressive. They are progressive. And we saw Peter. By the end of his life, he reaches transformation that he understands now. And he's like, you know what? I understand so much that I understand so much about this now that, you know what? I cannot be crucified like Jesus because I know I'm not worthy because he's been revealed to me in the power of the hand. Will you pray with me? Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you right now. Lord, we just want to say thank you. Lord, I thank you for this awesome word, oh God. I thank you for your anointing, Lord, that has been upon me on today. Lord, I ask that you touch your people on this day. Lord, somebody's thinking about going back to school. Somebody's thinking about starting a business, Lord Jesus. Some are thinking about stepping out in faith, Lord. Some are thinking about some relatives right now, Lord. Some are thinking, Lord Jesus, I've changed. But how do I meet transformation? Lord, I ask that you reveal to them in their hearts, Lord Jesus. Let somebody come, Lord. Let somebody touch. Let somebody agree. Provide confirmation to this change, oh God. This change that leads to transformation, oh God. Reveal to them, oh God, Lord Jesus. And continue to reveal to them in revelation, Lord Jesus, that living thing, Lord Jesus, which you've given us, oh God, of your power, of your Holy Ghost that lives inside of us, oh God. For we know things that are dead do not change, oh God. But we that are living are constantly changing. We're constantly getting better. We're working towards perfection. And as we walk by faith and not by sight, Lord, sometimes we don't know where it's going to come from, Lord, but we understand and we trust that you're going to do exactly what you said you're going to do, oh God, and even if you don't mean that you are not able to, and Lord, we thank you for this space on today, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing right now, we thank you for transformation right now, Lord, we thank you for revelation right now, Lord, we thank you for your anointing that destroys the yoke and set the captive free, Lord, you that's boiling inside of us right now, God, pour out of us, Lord, you rivers of living water, Lord, you let us speak, Lord Jesus, truth. Let us speak life and not death, oh God. Let the word be rhema in your spirit. Lord Jesus, that we go forth, Lord Jesus, that others will see us not as a perfect people, but as a light, Lord Jesus, house in the safe house unto you. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, we love you. Protect us all week. Lord, you watch them and keep our children as they go to school. Watch the college students as they go back. Lord, your COVID is still raging. Oh, God, there are some who may be even sick in their bodies right now. Lord, I ask that you touch them right now from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Lord, you make them whole. Make them whole. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true. For we walk by faith, and not by sight. Woo! God bless you all this morning. God bless you all this morning. Hey, if this word has been any blessing to you on this day, I ask that you all take care. Let's go. Hey! If this blessing... If this service has been any blessing, or this message has been any blessing to you on the day, I ask that you please consider making a donation or offering to the Safe House Church. If you're making a check, please make a check or money order payable to Finding Fish Ministries. That's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Again, that's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Or you can hit us up on the Cash App, Martin Day, Safe House Church, GSO. Safe House Church, GSO. Make sure you look for the little purple logo in the corner there. Lastly, not least, but you can go old school, PayPal, paypal.me/ministry8. paypal.me/ministry8. All the things that come here in this ministry go directly to supporting this ministry. That's why you see this fabulous equipment that we have here on today and to be able to do the things that we do. We're just grateful to you and all who have given in this space, and we honor you on today. Hey, I just wanted to end this with a God bless you all, love you all, thank you all for all those who are tuning in this morning. Thank you for working with us through our little situation on this morning. For God is good and he's worthy to be praised. I just believe, you know, I'm learning to take things in stride as I get older. Amen. You don't let things get you up or you don't let things get you down, but also it's a sign of my growing maturity. I've seen the time where that would have really gotten me a little twisted, but nonetheless, God is good and he's worthy to be praised. So now you get to see us grow as we grow, because we're in this space together. We're all growing. God bless you all. Love you all. You all have a wonderful, wonderful day. Share this word with somebody else. Invite somebody else out. Also, don't forget on Wednesday night, we have the Bible class. We're finishing up the book of Ephesians. I think we finished right at the end of chapter 5 and going into, six, we're about to start a marriage part. Yeah, you might want to be there. But I know some people ain't want to see that. But anyway, we're right there, and we'll finish up, and then we're going to move into the book of Acts. Next Sunday is the last Sunday of the month of January. It has happened so fast, y'all. These things have been going forward so fast. Also, I just said, somebody said, pray for the Matthews family. Let's do that real quick. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, just you touch the Matthews family. Lord, you know what it is that they have need of. Lord, she's asking you pour the blessing upon them, oh God. See that their need is met, oh God. You know what it is that they're facing. I ask you strengthen and keep and hold them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I don't think I missed anybody else. Everybody else I can see, I think we up to date. Also, remember on Thursday nights, for my men, we are in the locker room. The locker room is where it goes down. The locker room is where the men talk about men things. And on this week, we want to talk about the things you should have learned from your father. Woo! The things you should have learned from your father. Now, I don't know about you. I have a great father. But you know, there were some things that he just didn't know about. Amen. And we just want to have a space there with men. We're just going to chop it up and we're going to talk. Also, if you are on the Clubhouse app, look for the locker room. You can go out there and you can friend me. You can find me at, just put in my name. I think I should pop right up. And you can friend me and you can find our room. And we're going to be on the Clubhouse app. This is for men only. I'm sorry, ladies. The ladies, though, you have yours coming up very soon. February, we have Women at the Well for the ladies. Amen. Women at the Well for the ladies. And that's going to be the space that you all can be able to share and talk and have that private conversation with women. Women helping women, men helping men. And then together we help each other. So God bless you all. I love you all. You all have a wonderful, wonderful day. And I see you all next week. Come on, why you gonna mess up? Think about
Three words come to mind. Times are changing. Yeah. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctors, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no trust in the word. But everybody seems to be quoting scripture. It's just another word they heard.
Pastors even pumping because they're tired. It's all based on how we feel. I heard people speak the other day. They say God is not real, but I'm just one of these old people. Because I don't hold on.
Sometimes I can't see, but I believe. Oh, I'm just one of them old people. God's got a hold on me. And I believe. So I'll choose to look on the brighter side, in spite of all the negativity I'm surrounded by. No, it ain't perfect, but that's all right. Cause his hand is on me, it's keeping me alive. So many disappointments, so much I don't understand, so much I don't have answers for. That's what makes me trust you more. In a world that's always changing, everything's rearranging. But no matter what's going on, I'ma be standing, I'ma be holding on. Your truth, their truth, my truth. Your God, my God, our you. All I know is one thing nowadays, is we all need hope, we all need faith. I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm just one of them old people.